Welcome to episode 155 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list.
You know, the stuff you are dying to do.
We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Donna, Lindsay, and Laura, and Heidi is joining us as well.
Yay, Heidi!
So, things that go bump in the night are a hot topic in the travel and entertainment industries, and are referred to by Fortune magazine as the beautiful business of ghost tourism.
This is the last time we let Heidi write the show notes.
Yeah, the librarian is here. Ghost tourism is its own cottage industry that stretches from coast to coast, from San Diego's Whaley House, home of the city's first public gallows, to Pennsylvania's Eastern State Penitentiary, and also Pittsburgh zombie culture, to the incredibly haunted city of New Orleans. There is no shortage of ghostly tours throughout the year in the USA. These tours offer a safe form of danger, a chance to be frightened in a controlled environment run by entrepreneurs in an industry estimated at $300 million a year. And we here at Outlander have participated in a shocking number of these ghostly events, and we wanted to start discussing them
just in time for Halloween.
So let's get started.
Yeah, let's clarify right now. The we in this does not involve Elizabeth. Elizabeth has done none of these things.
Really?
I did a ghost tour in St. Augustine. That's it.
I didn't realize this until you just said it, but that Pennsylvania's East State Penitentiary, that's the first haunted house I ever went to.
Really?
Was the one there every year. Yeah. I was really young, and I don't know why my mom let me go. Just bad parenting, I guess. I don't know. But this is back when they could still grab you. Huh. They were allowed to physically still touch you, and we went through, we stood for hours in line to get in.
They can still touch you, actually. I went 2 years ago. It's called Terror Behind the Walls, and I went with someone who's kind of like you, Elizabeth. I talked her into it, and we were signing what they call the writs of execution, which is the waiver that you won't be hurt. When the Grim Reaper tapped her on the shoulder, and we weren't even in the prison yet. We were like in the anti-room area outside the walls, and she turned around and she basically yelled, "Mother!" And she ran out of the prison. So I finally convinced her to come back in, and then she clung to my sister so tightly. My sister had like scratches on her arm, and she only made it through one part of it.
Wow.
But you have a choice. You can either choose to not be touched, or you wear a special necklace, and they can actually drag you out of the area and put you in a whole separate area.
Oh, see, there was no necklace, and there was no waiver, but I was really young.
It might have been a waiver. You would have had to sign it. Your mom was like, sure, take her. That's cool.
She didn't even go in. She, like, sent me with another family.
I'm glad you're still with us.
I remember going down the stairs until like the, and they grab your legs underneath the stairs.
Oh God,
not good.
No, I mean Heidi even tried to convince me for several years when I was working at the libraries to go to the haunted corn maze with them, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, Holly was talking about doing that this year. She watches scary movies by herself at night.
There was one in Orlando that has since closed down at Church Street Station. I can't think of the name of it. But it was so scary when they were building it. It was a Spanish company that was building it. It was so scary that they couldn't keep workers.
Oh, God.
Wow. And it was every fear that you could think of. I remember distinctly. There was a room of people on meat hooks, and you didn't know who were dummies and who were people, and you had to walk through them, and they would bounce against you like punching bags, and they would grab you. And then the other one was a room full of clowns in rocking chairs going back and forth, and every now and then one would leap out. It really was everything terrifying that you could possibly
think of. I would still be in a fetal corner somewhere on the corner of street.
You'd be like on
I would still be there. Yeah, I don't know that I could ever recover from that.
Like, the It commercial.
Yeah.
Like, the clowns are not my thing.
No. I just see the picture of the clown in the sewer, and I need to flip past.
We're talking about, like, haunted houses.
Yes, so let's get back to the topic.
Let's talk about, like, ghost tours, because that's a little bit different. It's scary. Right?
Yeah. So I did the one in St. Augustine. What we did, because I had Marcus with me, and he is more chicken than I am, if that's even possible. So we did, like, the family-friendly one, which we stay in the trolley. You don't get out of anything, and they just tell you a few scary stories. And it was pretty tame, so it was all right. But I did see people, like, going into the jail there, which you really couldn't pay me to do.
Why? Because you think it's haunted?
Yeah. It's not just me that thinks it's haunted. Yeah. Like, they completely set it up for, you know, you to be terrified. And it's dark, and it's old, and
Luckily, you wouldn't go to the state capitol that does the ghost tours around Halloween, because the state capitol here is incredibly haunted.
Yeah. Actually, the theater I was just at tonight has a ghost. When it burned in the 80s, it was determined to be arson. It was a cleaning person who wanted to kill herself, and so she roams the halls and the stairways. And there were times, like, I will not go up to the catwalk in that theater. I won't do it, because things like bang and, you know, creak, and nope.
Things like the wind, Elizabeth.
So for those of you who think that's fun, tell us what you've done.
I dragged my husband on a Midnight in Garden of Good and Evil tour in Savannah. Is that the same one you did, Heidi?
It wasn't the Midnight one, but yes, I did do one. And how was yours? Mine was creepy. Mine was super creepy.
It was spooky, and they took us out. I, for a while, was like, why are we going out here? I don't know where we were going. We were going somewhere really way off the beaten path, and they took us all the way out to, like, I don't know, what I would consider almost like swampland.
It's not that far in Savannah.
Yeah. To talk about voodoo and things like that. It was really creepy, and the Mercer House is very creepy. I think buildings have, you get like a feeling around certain buildings. That one's really creepy.
Wait, isn't that that's not the Girl Scout house, is it?
No, that's
the Juliet Gordon Lowe house.
Yeah. Okay.
That one's not creepy at all. I've been to that one. I haven't been at night, but, and I guess it's very possible that Miss Lowe creeps around her house still, but she's not a creepy person, so.
She's singing songs. She's playing games.
Around a campfire.
Yes. She's saying how the quality of her thin mints has gone down.
So when you guys do these ghost tours, do you go because you think you're going to see ghosts, or do you go for the old buildings and the storytelling? Like, what's the appeal to ghost
I don't expect
tourism?
To see a ghost. I just like to, for me, it's the storytelling aspect. Some are much better than others. I went to one in Salem, Massachusetts in October, and that was a super creepy one. But the guy was an incredible storyteller, and that can make it or break it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's almost, you almost don't care. You're not looking for accuracy. You're looking for a good tale. Mm-hmm. At least that's, yeah.
And I agree with you 100%. If you get the wrong person, it's over. You can't get into it. It's not the same. And I go for the history. I like the history. Yes. And you get to see, like, I did one in Anchorage, and it was really cool. He walked us around, and he had this giant book where he had pictures of old buildings that used to be there that had these awesome stories, and they'd been torn down, and things I would never have known about or looked about had I not taken that tour. And it did kind of creep me out that the very first ghost on the stop was a travel agent that had been murdered with a car bomb.
Really?
What? Wow.
Yeah, I thought he was messing with me.
And they took all the travel agents on this tour?
I was the only one. Is he messing with me? It's a real thing. Like, or it's suspected her ex-husband killed her or whatever to get custody of their kid.
Yeah. I remember when I was in Alaska, when we were in Seward, did you go to Seward, Lindsay? Did you go?
No.
Oh, so basically we went to see the port and stuff, but there's a Sea Life Center there. There's a cute little main street that's got like some shops and a brewery and stuff, but there's this haunted hotel at the end of the street, and they told us the story about why it was haunted. Somebody killed somebody because of something. had to do with, like, somebody cheating on somebody. And it was, you know.
Well, speaking of
the story.
Speaking of haunted hotels, and I think, Donna, you've been there, but, you know, Estes Park, the Stanley is the most Stanley. Haunted hotel. And, you know, the Stanley is...
We drove past it because they don't let you in unless you actually have a reservation.
Mm-hmm. Or take the tour.
Or take the tour. Yeah. You can sign up for
so
the tour.
So tell people where that is. I know where
it is. It's in Estes Park, Colorado, so just outside of Loveland area. In the mountains, and it's where The Shining was inspired. So apparently Stephen King spent the night there with his wife, and the events of the evening inspired the story. So I don't believe that any of the, like, the Shining ghosts, like the creeps that happen in The Shining aren't actually what happens at the Stanley Hotel, right? But there's lots of bumps and
other things
moving, and things flying across rooms. And
I don't know that if I was Stephen King's wife and I heard that that's what inspired staying there with me, I don't think I would be his wife anymore.
I don't think it was about her.
She's well cared for.
Yes.
Yeah, I think she knows what he's all about by now.
Yeah, I think she knows what she's signed up for. Because we've been to Colorado now twice in the summer, and my friends have been trying to convince me that we need to spend the night there, and I'm like, no, because I won't sleep, and then you have to put up with me the whole next day.
So when we went to Salem, we stayed in this really old hotel. I can't think of the name of it, but it's like right on the town square, and the room was creepy. It was me and my sister and her daughter, and when I went in the room, I got locked in the bathroom. I couldn't get out of the bathroom. Like, the door would not open. It had those crystal doorknobs, you know, like old timey kind of creepy doorknobs. And I kept turning it, and I was starting to get a little panicky, and finally the door just finally popped open, and I was like, that was just weird. So we went on the ghost tour, and the tour guide asked if was anybody staying in that hotel, and we raised our hands, and he said, well, there are stories of people not being able to get out of their room, and my sister, we went back. And my sister was always saying, like, oh, these things don't bother me. Mm-hmm. We go back to the hotel, and I stay outside to call my husband on the cell phone, and I look over, and there's my sister and her daughter standing there. I'm like, why aren't you in the room? They're like, we're not going. What do you mean you're not going? We're going to wait for you here.
Yep, that would be me.
Yeah,
voluntarily staying. And incidentally, I was told the Stanley was very expensive, but when I priced it for June, because I was hoping that I could convince them it's too much money.
Yeah, it's not.
I was like, oh, it's $800 a night. No, it's less than $300 a night.
And June. They do a huge Halloween party.
Yeah.
Like a big costume ball. That looks really awesome. That I would love to. That's bucket list for me.
Well, and I've seen pictures where, like, they have little cutouts where you can stick your faces in and be the twins or whatever. So they definitely, you know, work it up. Yeah, exactly. And there's a beer that's served there that's done by a local brewery, and it's called Red Rum.
I had that when I was there.
Did you? Was it any good?
Yes.
Did it taste like spooky
death? The
whole
brewery was great.
I would go to the brewery.
I had several.
I would go to the brewery. Did it taste scary?
No. But it was yummy.
So I didn't do a ghost tour. Heidi just asked if we did ghost tours in New Orleans. I know Donna did a vampire tour. Is that right?
I did a vampire tour. And it was really, it wasn't really so much ghosts, but it was really creepy, psycho, you know, killer types that have lived in the New Orleans area. And so they were telling stories about them. So it's, you know, they were just normal serial killers.
So it was a true crime tour then? Because you say vampire tour, and I'm expecting more Lestat and, you know...
Well, they tied it into some of the books and stuff that had, you know, made New Orleans famous as far as for that, from the originals, from the Vampire Lestat, from the Sherilyn Kenyon series and all. But the thing was is that it was some of these things were based on real stories, and they were really serial killer types, but they just had a penchant for blood. So whether or not they were really vampires, you know, that was kind of up in the air. But it was definitely, that's what people perceived, the public perceived them as.
So sort of the same thing as Vlad the Impaler. He didn't actually necessarily drink blood, but that's what people associated him with.
Correct. So it was really enlightening, to some of the stories they told. So it was haunted history tours. And so if you get a chance to go to New Orleans, check out, because they've got some great tour guides.
Awesome.
I did one with a different company, and it wasn't a vampire tour. It was a ghost tour in New Orleans. And it was kind of the same thing. It was all history and about the, even some ghosts from not so long ago, from Katrina, and going over different things that happened. And yeah, there was a guy who ended up killing his girlfriend and cooking part of her on the stove or something.
Oh my god!
Like, yeah. They were hungry.
They had like Katrina, and they were feeding people during Katrina and stuff like that. And I don't know what, like, he was a, it was a very messed up, creepy story. And but there was a whole bunch of ghost stories in there. But then I did a regular drinking tour too that actually had more ghosts and things in it than I was expecting out of just a regular drinking tour. But I guess anything you do in New Orleans, there's going to be a ghost aspect.
Was that because of the drinking?
No. That's actually, they took us to the vampire bar. That's where I went. I didn't, I went up to the vampire bar.
What did you drink at the vampire bar? I hope it wasn't red wine.
No, it was absinthe, some drink with absinthe in it, which was a mistake because I'd already had absinthe somewhere else and it wasn't.
Oh, that was before we got there, right? I remember you saying you.
Is that like a play on words? You go in a ghost store and you drink absinthe?
And you got you. You imbibe the spirits.
You could have drank Everclear. That would have done it.
I think
well, see, in the United States, absinthe doesn't have that whole LSD, you know, quality to it that it does in Europe.
The wormwood, it actually does have, like, but they. It's been proven that it's not. That's all fake. That whole, it's never had LSD in it.
No, but it's a little more potent in Europe than it is here.
It's not quite as regulated as it is here. That's part of it.
Correct.
So, then, so did anybody else do a ghost tour while you were there?
No, I didn't do one anymore.
Because we were supposed to see a cemetery, I know, but
I did get to see a cemetery.
You did?
I did with the city tour. That was cool. But they didn't really talk about ghosts. They just talked about how they shove the bones in the back of the tomb and they keep putting people in the same tomb over and over again.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Well, part of the vampire tour, what was really neat, we didn't actually go to St. Louis Cemetery, but one of the things they would do when someone would pass away is that they would actually have the hearse, the horse-drawn carriage hearses, go out different directions so that the ghosts would be confused and wouldn't know how to return home. And what they would do is that they couldn't open all the tombs at the certain time, so they had them basically packed on ice, and so they would do that, and they'd have like a mourning day where they would basically inter everybody that had died for like the last 6 months.
Oh God!
It was because they didn't want to do it in the summertime when it was, you know, baking. And they had originally had started, you know, burying bodies just like they normally do, but because of the water table and the delta, they actually would float downstream. And so that's when they had to start, you know. And I learned all of this, and you know, in this particular tour, that's the reason why they did some of these things, is that they didn't want your ghost coming back home.
Right.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, they also have these like parties after,
because they tended to do that even down the river.
I think the coolest ones I've done recently were I did two in Scotland, in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh is supposedly like the best place on earth to do ghost tours.
The vaults.
Yeah,
the vault is supposed to be super haunted.
I went in underground. I went in and did. Well, I found like the one company that had an adults only because I wanted.
Wait, you did the vault? You went?
Yeah, I did.
Oh wow, that's
like three ghost tours in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
But I went into with Meerkat Tours. They have an adults only where you go at night. It's like the tour starts at like 9:30 at night. Mm-hmm. you meet by the Meerkat Cross at night in front of the like Gothic cathedral thing there, and so you're St. Giles or whatever. And so you're sitting there and. And the tour guide I had, actually all three of the tour guides I had were pretty excellent, but they did make it. I mean, but you're down in there and it's dark and it's creepy and all the story, you know, they'll crowd you into each one of these rooms where there's not very much room, and then they'll tell you the story about the ghost. And I don't know if they were supposed to, you know, I never felt like there was a ghost there. I mean, I think I really liked the tours in Edinburgh, but I never felt haunted or scared. It was just kind of a, it was entertaining. I stayed at the hotel I stayed at was supposed to be very haunted too. It was the former Bedlam.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
And I didn't, not one ghost, not one bump, nothing.
You were probably really tired from disappointed.
That's a good thing, honey.
Yeah. So you did three ghost tours in Edinburgh just in a few days that you were there. Did you get any repeat stories?
No, actually. I think you could probably do like 20 there and not get the same stories. I mean, the vaults I went in the first time were not the ones they talked about in the other ones. And then I went to the real Mary King's Close, which isn't really a ghost, you know, tour per se, but you go into what the streets used to be. And it's just, I don't know, I kind of had more of a feeling of sadness of history, the poor things that they had to go through and whatnot. It was very entertaining and educational, but I didn't feel scared. I know there are some where people dress up and they'll jump out and scare you or grab you and things like that, but I didn't do any of those. So if you're looking for more of that, haunted house experience, you don't have to look too far to find it there, because I think there are probably literally hundreds of tours in Edinburgh that are.
Yeah, I would never. I wouldn't do like super scary ghost tours, but I do like the idea of ghost tours from a historical perspective, and even true crime, you know, tours. Like I did the Jack the Ripper tour in London, which sounds really cheesy, and there's a million of them. But I picked the one where the guy who's been on History Channel
London
and everything.
The London
Walks.
One famous guy.
So he was just outstanding, and he looks like. Kind of like what you would picture Jack the Ripper would look like. So halfway through the tour, you're like, am I following Jack the Ripper around? It was like, I mean, he was just really, really good. So he had the long coat and sort of longish hair, older gentleman. And but it was really cool because you also don't really see Whitechapel. Like, there's not very much reason to be in Whitechapel in London. There's not a whole lot of tourism there. But there's some really nice, you know, it's an interesting neighborhood. So,
But would you go in the vaults in Paris? Would you go in the crypts?
We've talked about it several times. My problem with it wouldn't be the bones. My problem with it would be the not being able to get out, the claustrophobia, like being underground.
Yeah,
like
the catacombs?
The catacombs, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would totally do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm very curious about it and the artistry of it and everything, and I've read a million books that go down there, and, you know, so that appeals. So it's not really, I don't think I'd have a problem with the bones. It's the lots of people and only one way.
There was a story like a year ago of some teenagers that got lost down there. Mm-hmm. They like took some strange path. Yeah,
for days.
So, for days. It took for days for them to find them.
That is crazy. I didn't realize it was so fast.
Oh, they're enormous.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
But they generally control the crowd. Like, those kids must have gone under a rope or something.
We were there. I gotta say, we were there during the time of Bastille Day, and there were not. It's so big, it never felt crowded. Actually, it was creepy because there were so few people. Because it's so big. It's very poorly lit.
Well, yeah.
And it's really evocative without them trying to be evocative. Like, the floor is uneven, and it's wet in places, and you see alleys and things branching off that have no lights in them.
And that's what happened. They, like, strolled
down. Just think, people wandering around there forever getting lost. We went to, France, but we went in Rome, in Italy. We did. And then we went to go see the Capuchin monks, where they made
furniture and stuff.
Oh, I did that one too. That was creepy.
Yeah.
That was gross, actually.
Yeah, I think that would creep me out more. I mean, I feel like having not been there, I feel like the catacombs were more just like a practical way to stack the bones. Whereas, you know, when you're making furniture out of people, that starts verging on. I would have a tough time falling asleep after that.
You might know what I'm talking about, because I feel bad I can't remember, but we went to go see a church that was like a church built on 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 a church. And we went like way, way down. That to me was creepier than the catacombs, because I just kept thinking any minute now, everything is going to crashing down on us. We're gonna die down here.
even the Louvre now, you know, the last time I'd been to the Louvre was like, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, and now they've opened up the underground where they, you know, they were excavating when I was there the first time. Once they built the pyramid and everything, they found all this stuff, and there's like these, like there's a moat and a castle wall down there that is, I mean, you look at it and you're like, wow, I'm standing in a moat looking at it. I mean, it's so intact, and the museum is above you. you. You know, there's like people, millions of people walking over you at the very moment. It's very strange.
We stayed at a hotel in Rome. And I think it's called the Inn at the Roman Forum, and they have their own crypt. So when they check you in, you actually go down into the crypt, and they have chairs down there, and they serve you cappuccino and biscuits. And you can go down there for wine, and you can kind of wander around. It's their own crypt.
That is,
it's creepy.
You make up to your slab is ready.
Yeah.
They have catacombs all over.
Yeah.
Rome. Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like you can't throw a stick and not hit a dead body
person.
So true.
Every church had some bones on slaves. Yeah. Something that.
Well, and actually, you know, as we're talking about Italy, then you have to sort of talk about Pompeii, because that is a super eerie place. And that's I actually do really like ghost towns. Again, I wouldn't want to sleep in one, but that sort of idea that basically that town ended in, you know, a matter of minutes, and you can see how it ended in a matter of minutes, and they found, you know, baking bread, and they found, you know, bodies, and it just, it's amazing to think about. And it's creepy, but at the same time, it's so sciencey that I can look past it. So yeah, it is sort of hallowed ground. I mean, you definitely know that you're walking in a place where, you know, many people lost their lives. But so it's very easy to be respectful of it and also just to be fascinated by it at the same time. So that's my speed.
One of the things that, you know, you guys have been talking about that I didn't know is that there's like adult-only tours and there's family tours. So I think that's a good thing to kind of, you know, restate for folks who are listening that if you do have children who are going, that there are tours that are slated more towards, you know, with that age group.
And most companies, I mean, they'll tell you if it's not meant for children, nobody under the age of such and such, they'll tell you about it because they definitely don't want the liability of
scaring the crowd.
Right. Yeah. And if it doesn't completely restrict kids, they will usually be able to give you sort of a scare level, like, you know, this will scare younger children, or if you're easily frightened, it will scare you, or this
if
is
you're
really
Elizabeth.
Not. Yeah, exactly. Because even
the Elizabeth scale.
Like, can we move away from this jail right now? Just keep driving. We don't need to stay very long. Places like that. That's Alcatraz. I've also walked through, which is probably a good, I guess, pseudo ghost tour. And it's not so much about who's died there, though. It feels like people are still there. Like it feels like
Gettysburg. I did one in Gettysburg, a nighttime tour, ghost tour. That was really
we did
creepy.
A pirate one in Beaufort, North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
And they talked about Blackbeard because he died around there, and they like drove us by this old house he had and stuff. So. That was kind of cool. My husband really wants to stay on the Queen Mary out in L.A.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. That's cool. I actually was looking at that to quote to somebody this past year, and I was like, oh, this looks so cool, because you can either go on and just, like, eat dinner and stuff, or you can spend the night.
I think it's really interesting from a hotel's perspective. This can be a real asset for them to have haunted rooms, because people actually ask for them.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And well, I mean, I think that's the whole reason the Stanley is still standing, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because people seek it out for the haunt factor. That's not, I mean, I guess there's other reasons to stay there, but that's not, nobody stays there for any other reason other than to have the bejesus scared out of them.
That did in Anchorage focus, like it did point out several of the more haunted hotels in Anchorage, which I never would have thought, oh, but there's one that has a book, like a guest book, that's like this giant binder of stories of guests, of encounters they've had with like ghost children, which I think are the creepiest of all ghosts.
Yeah.
I think if I'm going to have to see a ghost, I want it to be an adult, because I think I would be less scarred for life than seeing a creepy little ghost child.
Yeah.
But this binder is just full of these true accounts, and people come from all over the world just to stay there. So
to tell you the level of ghosts that I'm comfortable with, when Don was talking about, you know, hiding the body so the ghost wouldn't come back, the first image that comes to my mind is poor little Casper out there looking for his mom and dad. You know, floating around New Orleans. that's kind of where I stop with the ghost.
I had a guy come to the library for 9 years and do a presentation. He's a ghost hunter, and he would bring in sound files that he would record that when he was doing it, you couldn't hear anything, but when you play the tape back, you can hear responses to his questions. Oh, my God. Every year, that was the creepiest part.
Well, he doesn't come anymore because Chris would love that.
Yeah, he hasn't come for a while, but yeah, he came for many years. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly creepy to think that something is there and you can't hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a hotel in New Orleans, actually, the Monteleone, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm. We went there for drinks.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that the one with the carousel?
That's the one with the maids in the ridiculously authentic maid costume.
It's super haunted. And there's like a whole bunch of rooms that you can request or ask to actually not be in. Because I remember thinking, I don't want to be in those rooms.
Maybe that maid wasn't in an antique costume. Maybe she was a ghost.
Oh. Really? Maybe she wasn't a maid.
One we saw.
Yeah, I like
the whole French maid thing going.
It just made me very uncomfortable.
It's interesting to me too that like I didn't even find the voodoo scary in New Orleans, and it's, I mean, that's kind of that black magic idea. I guess it just feels like it's part of the culture and it's okay, right? There, yeah. You know, whereas if somebody handed me a bag of bones here, I would have been like, no thanks. But
yeah. I'm more creeped out about the history of Mardi Gras and how the kings are all these old white men and all the queens are these little young debutante 18-year-olds and some of their pictures are missing.
It's a weird tradition.
You're just in this room with all these pictures of these old white guys, just hundreds of them. Yeah. All it was this free. That was scarier than any of the ghosts.
All right, well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or you can search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. And thanks again, Heidi, for joining us this week.
Happy Halloween.
Yay. Yeah, happy Halloween. On behalf of Lindsay.
Nice. You did that way better than Sandy.
Oh, she's going to destroy this. On behalf of Lindsay, Laura, Elizabeth, Donna, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.